positioning themselves to try and take these capitals once foreign forces are fully withdrawn.
Against such a backdrop, Biden's promise to leave Afghanistan for good, regardless of the conditions on the ground, has lessened the incentive for the Taliban to make concessions as the group sees itself the winner of the war. In other words, the Taliban have achieved one of their main goals, the unconditional withdrawal of international troops.
The administration has decided to abandon U.S. efforts in Afghanistan, which have helped keep radical Islamic terrorism in check. And bizarrely, they've decided to do so by September the 11th. Apparently, we're to help our adversaries ring in the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks by gift-wrapping the country and handing it right back to them. Unfortunately, this mistake in Afghanistan is one of several instances of this new administration surrendering leverage without making America, our allies, or our interests more secure.
Living in a time line where we are not anywhere with the negotiations, or we haven't received an agreement with the Taliban, would not be responsible, and it would can cost us losing everything we worked and fought together in the past 20 years, and that can risk overall security in Afghanistan. So that's why I think the extension is a responsible approach for what's happening here now in Afghanistan.
When the U.S. invaded Afghanistan in October 2001, the country was an isolated, devastated country under the Taliban's control. Two decades later, the country has not found peace and is marked with deep social and economic divisions. More than half of the population continues to live in abject poverty.
It's very naive to think that Americans came here to do anything with poverty, to do anything with peacebuilding, to do anything with democracy or human rights. It's in fact the other way around. The American presence, not in Afghanistan, but in the region and in the world, in the bigger picture, is to create more conflict, is to create more poverty, is to create more dependency to the United States.
The contested areas in the south and east of the country, the heartland of the Taliban, are in bad shape after bearing the brunt of Western firepower. Experts say escalating violence and the COVID-19 pandemic could push the poverty rate from nearly 50% to over 70%. Meanwhile, U.S. intelligence agencies have concluded that the Afghan government could collapse within 6 months of the departure of the last international troops. U.S. troops leaving Afghanistan seems to be more than a mere withdrawal. The Americans are in fact running away from Afghanistan, shirking responsibility of cleaning up the mess they've left behind over the past two decades. In a war that has run for more than 20 years, longer than World War I, World War II, and the Korean War combined, the U.S. military in the end tasted humility while leaving the Afghans all to their own devices.
But we don't have a good history of taking care of those who sided with us in conflict and making sure that if they feel they cannot sustain themselves in their country or unwilling to do so, that we take care of them. And that sends a global message. Don't fight with the Americans, because when they're finished, they leave you behind. That's not something we can tolerate.
Will Afghanistan go back to square one when the Taliban were in power? And if so, who is to be blamed?
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Tour the pit.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamati.
Islamati.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon you all, and you're listening to Youth Station only on IRIB English Radio.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
I'm your host, Hassanain, and we have in our
Zainab,
studio...
Zainab, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum salam. How are you, sister Zainab?
I thought I would like, you know.
How are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. I'm good. You know what? I don't think there is anything you could be too old for. Except like maybe drinking milk out of a bottle.
What about like, you know, playing with clay, playing with toys and
no.
all?
No.
Okay,
when's
the last time you played with toys?
Our last time was this weekend.
Okay, so do you think there should be any age so that, you know, you cannot play after this age? Like,
no.
you're too old for
why
that?
Why should... No, first tell me why should there be?
According to people, it's not appropriate for your age to be playing with toys.
Who defines that appropriateness?
Society, maybe?
Well, is society an expert on things which are appropriate for age? Yes.
Nah, they're just random thoughts.
They're random
yeah,
people with random
upon,
thoughts.
Upon the people.
Exactly. I mean, like, when it comes down to certain things, yeah. I really feel... Okay. All right. Let me get this right. I really feel that society doesn't know what it's talking about because if one single person says something wrong, does it make it right? Like, one person that you know well.
Yeah.
Says something wrong. So why would 500 people saying something wrong make it right? Right? That's what the society is. I'm not saying everything the society says is wrong, right? But if they don't know what they're talking about, then they're wrong.
Hey, wait. I remember one thing. Let me share this. So once there was one man, he was reciting Salatul Janazah for a man. And, you know, like, there were 40 men standing behind him.
Yep.
And they were praying with him.
Mm-mm.
So a man was passing by, and he saw that the man whom they're praying the janazah for is still alive. He's in his coffin, and he's, you know, he's shouting, like, he's crying, "I'm alive, I'm alive." So, like, the man went and asked the, you know, the man who was leading the prayer, "Wait, what are you doing? He's still alive." It's like, this one man, he's claiming to be alive. And these 40 men, they're claiming him
he's
to be dead.
Exactly.
Whom should I listen to?
Yeah. Sometimes society doesn't know what the hell it's talking about.
Right.
Sure, there's a concept within Islam and within fiqh called urf, right?
Right.
The norm. And by norm, they don't mean...
Every norm.
Like, there are certain cultures that are norms of a society, but they're just downright wrong. When Rasulullah began preaching people to Islam... in the Arabic Peninsula, it was the norm for them to worship idols, to have slaves and torture their slaves and abuse their slaves. Mm-hmm. It was their norm to bury their baby girls.
And you simply cannot follow that.
And he was like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Y'all got to be changing your norms.
Right.
Right? So I'm saying that sometimes there's norms in society. So what Islam in our fiqh, in our jurisprudence, we talk about urf. We mean the urf among people with knowledge.
Right.
A bunch of experts would say that this is muta'arif to us. This is acceptable for us.
Right.
Right? Not just every Tom, Dick, and Harry come and say that, I don't think you should be playing with this toy anymore because you're too old.
Right.
Well, you look stupid in that hat, Tom, but you don't see me calling you out for that. The point is... What's the point? Ah, the point is you're never too old for... There are certain things... You're almost never too old for anything. Like, age is definitely just a number.
Okay, so what about, you know, people... Let's talk about marriage.
What about marriage?
Like, if someone gets married at, like, maybe a boy gets married at 20, at the age of 20...
Yep.
People might say, hey, you're too young for marriage. And, like, if he gets married at 30... People say,
you're
too old
for marriage. Dude, like, if he loves her, he loves her. If he has the right mentality. See, I think it has all... You know the hadith that says, Al-A'malu bin-niyat?
Mm-hmm.
Every deed depends on the intention behind it.
Yeah.
If a person has the proper mindset when they enter a marriage,
yeah.
It doesn't matter whether they're 16, 25, 35, 65. A person mm-hmm. might find love at the age of 65.
Right.
Are you telling me Allah is going to deprive his servant of that rizq after a certain age? It don't make sense.
Right?
In the immortal words of my niece, it makes no sense. If they enter something with the correct mentality mm-hmm. and with the intention to serve a correct purpose, it doesn't matter what age. A person can get their PhD at the age of 52.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen people do that.
But you see, it's always a society deciding like when you have to get married, when you have to get your kids.
Well, society's wrong. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
We should rebel against society. I'm just saying that people should educate themselves. And because...
Okay, so are you saying that there should come a point where for the so-and-so person, the thoughts of the society...
Shouldn't matter anymore?
Shouldn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Do the thoughts of the society matter to you?
Not really.
When you go back home... Okay, here you're a foreigner. You're mm-hmm. considered as a foreigner in Iran. But when you go back home, do you think that... what society thinks of you matters?
If I'm on the right path, like it doesn't really matter to me.
How do you know you're on the right path?
What Allah thinks that matters.
Aha, that's what I wanted to say too. Because opinions and the norms and what's considered as appropriate constantly changes from one society to the other. But only Allah is and his rule and his norms and his tradition are stable. And nowhere in the words of Allah or the Ahlul Bayt we see them saying that you're too old for this.
Right.
Is it too old for a person to convert to Islam or revert to Islam?
No.
We have so much of the followers or the ashab of Rasulullah, his companions, that reverted back to into Islam at an old age.
Yeah. Wait, Sister Zain, what do you think? Like, people should start living for Allah instead of, you know, living for Abdullah.
Obviously, for the servant of Allah. Obviously, people should... And once you live like that, you feel like... Really, you feel like age is just a number.
Yeah.
You know, like even in the Quran, we have examples of it where Nabi Zakaria ala Nabi Nawalu alayhi salam or Nabi Ibrahim ala Nabi Nawalu alayhi salam. How old were they when Allah gave them their first son?
Right. Actually, I think this
really
society
darn
pressure
old.
And this peer pressure... It's not a good thing.
Yeah, don't rush people.
Yeah.
They're ready when they're ready. Don't be rushing them. Oh, when are you getting married? Oh, when are you going to have your kid, your baby?
Yeah.
Oh, and I feel like in a lot of like Middle Eastern countries, people have not reached the intellectual capacity not to discuss these private personal matters with others yet. Oh, when are you getting married? When are you going to get your degree? When are you going to have your baby? When are you going to buy a house? Oh, you're getting too old. It's like, I feel like I want to tell that person, have you seen yourself in the mirror? You're old. You don't see me asking you when you're going to die. I'll do it when I do it. I'll do it when I'm ready. I'll do it. In fact, I'll do it when Allah wants me to do it.
Ascent.
If I don't have a child now, if I don't have a spouse now, if I don't have a house now, if I haven't gotten my doctorates now, it's because Allah hasn't willed it for me yet. So back off.
Right.
Age has nothing to do with it.
Like people should like seriously start thinking this way, that it shouldn't matter what people think about me. It matters what Allah thinks about me, and I should do what Allah wants from me.
Exactly.
Please stay with us. We'll be right back after a short break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back to your audience, and where we were discussing about, you know, people being too young to do something.
Or too old. Is
too
age
old. Yeah, is age limit, does it matter, like, to do, if you want to do something, does age really matter?
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when you're playing with children or when you're talking to children, be a child. Are we ever going to say that, oh, but I'm too old for this? Look, some people, they don't get along with children, right? And that's their prerogative. It's their personality. It's their preference. And it's fine. We're not going to force people to play with kids. But once you do, you got to, like, forget the fact that you're 25 or 35 or 45 or a 75-year-old grandpa and be a kid all over again, the way Rasulullah was. If we're going to say certain acts are immature, that certain acts really are immature, right? And I think by that, by immature, what we really mean, even as a society, is that a person does not fulfill the responsibilities that their age entails.
Right?
And that's natural. That's a natural process of life, right? Mother Nature puts us through this journey where we develop at each stage. And in each stage, Mother Nature bestows us with a new set of skills. And with each set of skills comes new responsibilities. And if a person fails their responsibilities and doesn't try to fulfill them, we call them immature. Because you didn't live up to the responsibilities that stage of your journey entails. But then on the other hand, we see Rasulullah himself, when he was playing with his grandkids, he would give them piggyback rides.
So it's not like being too old for doing something.
Exactly. In fact, at that stage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, it was his responsibility to goof around with his grandkids. And that was actually the most mature, fitting thing he could do for his age. You know, my point is, don't let people tell you that you're too old for this, you're too old for that. Oh, but sometimes you are too young, though.
Like, we can start with...
You're too young to vote. Don't argue with me.
Yeah, I know. Because, there's certain circumstances, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not aware of the politics. He's not aware of the leaders. He's not aware of the
leaders. Yet. We talked about how Mother Nature equips us with certain skills.
Like, maybe it might be driving.
Yeah.
It might be voting.
The wiring of your brain is not complete yet for you to take on a certain task. But once you reach an age where your brain is completely developed, and I think it's the age of 25 or something, then you're just... You know, it's a matter of the choices you make and the intentions you put behind it.
You might be too young for certain things, right?
Yeah.
Like, the vice versa is like being too old to do something.
But we established
we've already discussed about it. Yeah, and being too young, like driving.
Sure, if you're like a genius, a child protege, certain things. But those are exceptions,
right?
Yeah. Exactly. And you could be, like, mentally impaired. You could be retarded. And you, no matter how old you get, you still can't do certain things. So it works both ways and when you're an exception. But at the end of the day, I think we're going to conclude this discussion that age is definitely just a number. We have examples of it in the Quran, in Ahadith. It's never too late to do what you want to do to better yourself and your life.
And we have Mujtahideen who became Mujtahid at the age of, like, 9, 10, 15, like that.
Or, like... 35.
Yeah. Or so like 70.
70, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all the time we have for today. And thanks so much, dear audience. You were listening to Youth Station. Until the next program, fi amanullah.
My love is strong because you are the one I call creator. My Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver. My defender and my savior, my giver and my taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance, I will when I need you, the light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love is strong. My alpha and omega.
food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and since today is the second of the month of Zilhijjah, the day following the blessed wedding anniversary of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib and Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon them, how about pondering upon a thought-provoking saying from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Fatima is the noblest lady of all time. When she stands in the niche of prayer, 70,000 angels send salutations upon her with the same tidings they had given the Virgin Mary, saying, O Fatima, God has created you peerless and pure and made you superior over all women of the world.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
Malaysians at a vaccination center in the city of Kuching have witnessed a surprising scene. A T-Rex turned up to get his COVID-19 jab. Fitness instructor Kenny Sia dressed up in a dinosaur costume to amuse people, doesn't he look fabulous, and protect himself. Sia said he made the decision to lift up the spirits of frontline health workers, is exhausted by vaccinating over 5,000 people a day. People rush to take pictures with him, hailing his appearance as historic and funny. A giant 3D cat has risen to fame in the Japanese capital, Tokyo, bringing joy to citizens amid the COVID-19 pandemic. A massive billboard featuring the cat has been installed in one of Tokyo's busiest districts. The realistic-looking cat on a 4K resolution screen appears every few minutes between advertisements. Depending on the time of day, the cat appears differently and sometimes meowing at people walking by. The companies that set up the billboard hope that they can cheer people up during the dark era of the coronavirus pandemic. The display has already caused a frenzy in the city and among the social platforms, with many expressing joy and amazement at the technology.
Peru is full of natural wonders worthy of appreciation in each of its regions. A zoo in the capital Lima has now unveiled an incredibly cute and adorable Andean alpaca calf to attract visitors amid dwindling zoo goers due to the coronavirus pandemic. This fairy baby alpaca named Paquita is just 1 month old and was introduced to the public on the eve of the 200th anniversary of Peru's independence from Spain. The zoo has also displayed its families of llamas, alpaca, and vicuña. The three are members of South American camelids biological family and are traditionally valued for their soft and warm wool. They live in the Andes Mountains, which lay thousands of meters above sea level. Peruvians are proud of the history of wools associated with these species, which have common ancestors with camels. The issue of marine trash has long worried scientists and environmentalists. Now, a French engineer has invented a robot to help clean ocean waste. The jellyfish bot is a remote-controlled, electric-powered boat that helps clean rubbish from the surface of the water. It is 70 centimeters long and 70 wide, almost the size of a suitcase. The robot can collect everything from plastic bottles to masks and even oil and petrol. Despite its wide-ranging utility, Jellyfish Bot has a rather simple mechanism.
To collect trash, you have to do something as simple as possible, because otherwise, if we put too complicated mechanisms, it can get blocked and things can get stuck in the system. We designed the robot with a slide mechanism that goes towards a net, so we fill up the net, we take back the net, and that's the end of it.
The trash-collecting robot is being used at around 15 ports in France, lightening the workload of local cleaners. It has also been exported to countries including Japan, Norway, and Singapore. The makers have also developed an autonomous version of the boat.
Four German tightrope walkers have set a new world highlining distance record by crossing an Arctic valley in Sweden. The group tiptoed a distance of more than 2 kilometers between two mountain peaks in Lapland barefoot. The line they walked on was set at a height of 600 meters. The four members of the team walked the line one after another successfully, despite challenges including the wind and long distance. It took 2 days for the team to rig the line between the two peaks.
A herd of elephants migrating in China have been making headlines for months. Now they have once again attracted attention. Experts monitoring the animals this week noticed two females engaged in a dramatic fight over the herd's leadership, where they kicked and bit each other. The tussle soon ended after a male elephant succeeded in calming the belligerent giants. The fight happened in China's southwestern province of Yunnan. The herd embarked on a lengthy journey last year after escaping a nature reserve and has since trekked hundreds of miles. The elephant's migration is the longest one in China's history. A distinctive feature, no matter of humans or animals, often catches our attention. You might have heard stories about the big fat cow or other animals you love the most. Here we bring you a story about a cow for her not being big, but for being the smallest. Rani, a 23-month-old cow, is being reared on a farm near the Bangladeshi capital, Dhaka. She is only 20 inches tall and weighs 26 kilograms. Local vets say the little Rani has no physical problems but will no longer gain any weight or height. The owner believes Rani is shorter than the smallest cow in Guinness World Record. The record for the smallest cow so far held by a 4-year-old red cow named Manikyam from the Indian state of Kerala.
We found on the internet that the smallest known cow is living in India's Kerala, which weighs 40 kilograms, but ours weighs only 26, so we believe ours is the world's smallest. That's why we applied to the Guinness World Records. They replied to us saying they will investigate within 90 days.
The tiny cow has also caused tourist frenzy in the South Asian country as thousands are flocking to Dhaka to take a glance despite coronavirus restrictions. The owner says over 15,000 people come to visit her in just 3 days. The dwarf cow has also gone viral on social media. A nearly 22-meter-high sand sculpture in Denmark has set a new Guinness record as the world's tallest sandcastle. The sculpture has been constructed with nearly 5 tons of sand. It's made in the shape of a triangle and a wood structure stabilizes it. More than 30 artists from different countries have worked on the project, carving intricate details on the castle's wall. Its makers say a nod to the coronavirus pandemic was also made at the top of that construction. They say that's because the virus has controlled the lives of people over the past months. The centerpiece broke the previous Guinness record that belonged to an 18-meter-high sandcastle in Germany.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
An adorable baby elephant has become a web celebrity after she was caught on camera using a muddy hill as playground slide. Footage shows the little elephant excitedly approaching a hill with a smooth path leading downward. The baby then goes on all fours to have the time of her life sliding on her belly down the hill, taking full advantage of rain. The toddler, named Yishong, is only 3 years old. She lives at a rescue center in China, one of the major habitats for wild Asian elephants in the country.
A French company has taken the process of pizza making to a whole new level by creating a robot chef. The robot named Patsy is completely autonomous. The machine, now working in a pizzeria in Paris, is capable of taking orders, making a pizza from scratch and serving it. Having three arms, the robot can make 120 pizzas in an hour, which is 13 times faster than a human chef.
We are in a very fast process with a perfect control of time and quality, since we have a constancy offered by robotics and then an environment that is quite cool and relaxed. The idea is also to spend a few pleasant minutes washing the robot while you wait for your pizza to be made.
It took designers 8 years to develop the machine, which is claimed to be the first pizza-making robot in the world. They hope to use the technology to open robotics-run restaurants that can function round the clock. In China, scientists are happy that the world's first artificially bred leaf monkey is doing well 2.5 months after being born. The rare monkey was born at a research and protection center in Wuzhou City in April. Its birth took place several days earlier than the due date, and the baby was relatively weak at birth. However, thanks to its parents and caretakers, it has grown in a normal way. Scientists say the baby monkey is now in a good condition and its behavior is totally normal.
It is very important in terms of the cytic value. It has been growing up normally. In addition, we have found that it has a curiosity about the world and always shows some exploratory and learning behaviors. In general, it is in very good physical condition.
The center's scientists say another leaf monkey that was born in April is doing well too. These monkeys are the eighth generation of leaf monkeys that have been bred in captivity. Their successful births have raised hope amongst the scientists of saving a species that is one of China's most endangered wild animals. Imagine the hungriest you've ever been. How many hot dogs could you possibly gobble down in 10 minutes? An American man has done 76. Professional eater Joey Chestnut broke the world record in the International Hot Dog Eating Contest on Brooklyn's Coney Island. The 37-year-old managed to devour the first 30 hot dogs in only 3 minutes. The impressive win marked his 14th victory at the annual contest. He held the previous record, which was only one sausage sandwich, less than his 2021 record. Astronauts at China Space Station have successfully carried out the country's first spacewalk. Two astronauts exited the core module of Tiangong to examine the station's robotic arm. They also elevated a panoramic camera and tested new generation spacesuits. The mission lasted 7 hours. According to the China Manned Space Agency, another spacewalk will be conducted soon. In June, three Chinese astronauts blasted off to become the first crew of the Tiangong station. They will remain there for 3 months. Lionel Messi is one of the most popular football players with millions of fans from across the world, but the legendary player enjoys special love and affection in his hometown. Local artists at Rosario relished the chance to honor Messi in a mural on a four-story building. The 14-meter-high and 8-meter-wide giant artwork stands opposite of the school Messi attended in his childhood. The mural depicts him as both an adult and a child. Messi had been the top scorer in European football leagues multiple times. He also received the world's best player award for a record 6 times. The 34-year-old currently holds the Argentinian national team's captaincy. Pangolins might look tough with their scaly armor, but they are in fact highly vulnerable animals. A Vietnamese man is dedicating his time and energy to making sure they are safe. 39-year-old Thai has been protecting pangolins since his boyhood when he saw one brutally hunted by his neighbors. The bitter experience inspired him to find or make a group devoted to saving the endangered species. Save Vietnam's Wildlife has over 60 staff and has so far rescued around 1,600 pangolins. Thai says seeing the rescued animals return to nature is the best part of his job.
The most wonderful moments in the lives of all of the conservationists at my center are the moments that we witness the rescued pangolins getting out from the transportation cages and slowly walking into the forest, because the forest is their true home, where they can have the joy of living their lives in their own way.
Pangolins are one of the most trafficked mammals in the world. Their number have fallen due to illegal trade. The animals, now critically endangered, could once be found in the rainforests across Asia and Africa. They use their sticky tongues to hunt for ants, termites, and similar prey. The pandemic has not stopped this British musician from holding live concerts. His audience is a very special group in Danish rural areas. Jacob Shaw, a university professor, is the man behind this experiment. He says playing for the animals has been his second best option after the pandemic forced the cancellation of many events and social gatherings. Shaw says the performance for the cows has been so rewarding that he wants to continue it even after public spaces are reopened. He says the cows seem to enjoy classical music very much.
They react differently to different pieces. We played something that was slightly more upbeat, a little bit more modern, and a lot of them didn't like it and they went away. And I think that the type of pieces which is closer to their voice, closer to their mooing, which could be similar actually to a cello, which is why it's so successful with them, they prefer that.
The cello player is sometimes accompanied by other musicians. They say the experience has helped them practice and also relieve some of the stress of a live concert.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam and peace of Allah be upon all of you. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to this episode under the title of A Happy Marriage. Let's open the calendar and see what date is today. Today, Tuesday, is the 2nd of Zilhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of Tiv, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by listening to chapter An-Nur, verse 32.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأنكحوا الأيامى منكم والصالحين من عبادكم وإمائكم إن يكونوا فقراء يغنهم الله من فضله والله واسع عليم.
And marry the unmarried among you, and the righteous among your male slaves and female slaves. If they should be poor, Allah will enrich them from His bounty, and Allah is all encompassing and knowing.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Marriage is venerated and emphasized in Islam. Islamic society is responsible for marrying of those who are celibate. Parents who do not marry their offspring are partner in sin that their issues commit. In this verse, one of the most important ways of struggling against weakness that is simple, easy, sincere, friendly marriage is mentioned, because it is obvious that in order to wind up the issue of sin, the approach of satisfying and gratifying the instinct is applied. In other words, no negative struggling is successful without positive struggling.
You are the way of love, chosen to teach us the words of Allah. Mercy and kindness and hope for everyone. Peace be upon you, O Muhammad.
Marriage in a nutshell. Dear listener, one of the recognized and indisputable commandments of Islam is that of marriage, the sacred union that takes place only between a man and a woman. In relation to this revered bond, there is many verses of the noble Quran and countless ahadith, traditions of the infallible Imams and the Prophet, that encourage marriage for any single man or woman of any age or background. This is not only limited to the young brothers and sisters who have never been married and are looking for their life mate, but even those who have been through divorce have also been encouraged to remarry and to complete their faith.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in.
In this episode, we are going to be concerned with felicitous and successful marriage in Islam. At the same time, we find that Ali ibn Asbat related from the 15th infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, in that when someone comes in order to get married with someone's daughter, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had indicated that if the person's mode of treating others indicates that he's a good-tempered person, and he's a good-tempered person, hence acceptable, then it must be regarded as a good husband for one's daughter. At the same time, we find that one of the important indications in this regard is that the person should be good-tempered. Because when a person is good-tempered and a just man, not a person who would embark on committing cruelty or committing, jobs abominable, in not only from an Islamic perspective, but even at least or minimally from a human perspective, that person couldn't make a good spouse for one's daughter. And then we find that regarding marriage, it must be indicated that marriage has a good time and a golden time.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Fundamentals of a happy marriage. One of them is forgiving. When Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny asked his companions, "Do you wish that Allah should forgive you?" They said, "Of course, O Prophet of Allah." He responded, "Then forgive each other." One of the main components of a happy marriage is that the spouses are able to forgive, that they do not hold grudges or act judgment towards each other. It is expected that when we live with someone, situations may arise when we end up saying or doing things that hurt our spouses. The challenge is not to dwell on it or lay blame, but to move past it. This can only happen if we are not too proud to ask for forgiveness and we are not stingy to forgive. If we expect Allah to forgive us, then we must learn to forgive. This is today's special, and we're speaking about habits of happy Muslim couples. They love each other for Allah's sake. What does it mean to love each other for Allah's sake? It means you make the love and obedience of Allah the basis and focus of your relationship with someone else. It means you love someone so much that you want your love for them to last beyond this lifetime and into the hereafter, when you can live in eternal happiness with them, having earned Allah's pleasure together. It means you love someone purely because of how much they remind you of Allah and help you get closer to Him. Truly happy Muslim couples engage in winning Allah's pleasure together whenever and in any way they can. They glorify Allah together in the quiet hours of Fajr. They thank Allah together. They make it a point to read a minimum amount of Quran every day. They do regular or even random acts of kindness and charity. And they maintain loving and happy ties with each other's families.
The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says that the most sacred institution in Islam is marriage. The hadith says, "Ahabul," or the hadith of Rasulullah says, "Ahabu shay'in buniya alayhi fil Islam wa zawaj." Marriage is one of the most sacred institutions in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this relationship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this bond. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves marriage. And it's the one of the most sacred, one of the most ones that He loves. مَا بُنِيَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ بِنَا أَحَبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ التَّزْوِيجِ or مِنَ الزَّوَاجِ. So the problem isn't with marriage. The problem is with us. How we engage ourselves, how we are conducting ourselves before marriage and after marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, He's laid out the practical steps to leading a successful marriage. Because all of this shows that we human beings are in need of guidance when it comes to getting married. Since we are failing and divorce rates are as high as 40, 50, 60%, that means there's a problem. So we need guidance. And who is better to seek guidance from but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He's our creator. He's our master. He designed us. He knows what's good for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left for us a beautiful book. A beautiful book that shows us how to lead a successful life, a successful marriage. And this is all explained through the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salat wa salam. The hadith of Rasulullah and the hadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. It's a book in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid out the practical steps to leading a successful marriage. And this book is twofold. It has two main chapters, two parts. The first part is what we must do before marriage. You see, if I want to lead a successful marriage, the journey begins before marriage, the prerequisites of marriage. And then the second part is what comes after marriage. So there are prerequisites that we must meet in order for our marriages to be successful. The first prerequisite of marriage in order for us to lead a successful marriage, a happy marriage, according to the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, is that we must educate ourselves about marriage. We must research. You see, many of us, when we want to get married, we do research. And especially this is more common in the West. We do lots of research, but about what? About the wedding. Which hall am I going to rent? What types of food am I going to bring? Who am I going to invite? Which tuxedo am I going to buy for the girl? Which dress am I going to buy? How much money do I need? How much do I have to spend? The honeymoon. Where do I go on the honeymoon? Which country? Which hotel do I book? Which car do I rent? Which restaurant do I... So on and so forth. But all of a sudden, after the honeymoon finishes, the research finishes. Okay, what about after the honeymoon? What am I supposed to do with my wife? What is the wife supposed to do with the husband? What are the expectations of marriage? What are my responsibilities towards my spouse? You would be amazed how clueless young men and women are. They have absolutely no clue. Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi.
That was all for today's special. So we continue this topic, inshallah, on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Until then, believe you under Allah's protection.
Ya Khaliq al-Insan, Ya Rabbi Ya Rahman, Shukran Ya Rabb,
Shukran Ya Rabb,
Ya Munzil al-Quran, Ya Khaliq al-Insan, Ya Rabbi Ya Rahman, Shukran Ya Rabb.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.